loving God, a caring God, and thank God today that we can sing How Great Thou Art. Amen. I love the old songs, don't you? I love the old ones. You get back to the old songs, you know, scripturally correct songs that you don't have to doubt what that, you know, that song, you know who they were singing about. Amen. They were singing about the love of God. Amen. I appreciate that this morning. And each of you, I want to welcome you. By the way, I know we have, a couple of visitors right before we turn our youngins loose here. Kaylee, you've got your mama. I know you've been here before, though. I know, first time. Well, we're glad to have you with us. Kayla's got her boyfriend, I think, also, and her sister, and I think, and her baby there, praise the Lord, and her boyfriend, her husband. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to ask there. But we're glad to have y'all with us. Anybody else visiting over here on this side? Visitors? Visitors, did I miss anybody? All righty. Well, listen, y'all make yourself at home. Appreciate you being here in God's house this morning. We're going to turn, who's got junior church this morning? You got the little ones? Who's got the big ones? All right, Brother Randy, you got one in your hand there. Everybody else, find Jonah. Find Jonah. Amen. Jonah's in the belly of the whale, by the way, if you're looking for him. No, I'm just kidding. Find Jonah. Great fish. A whale, maybe, I guess. Jonah. All right, now Luis. Where'd he go, Luis? Good to have you too. Luis, good to see you. All righty. That's a big upheaval, amen. They lost half the church, walked out the door, amen. Going back to the back. All righty, the book of Jonah. Jonah's one of those books of the Bible everybody knows, but they always can't find it. It's hidden there near Obadiah and Haggai, and you got to find it, amen. You'll hear pages turning. If you can't find it, amen, just act like you found it. That's what I do. I'll be looking for something, can't find it, and I just act like I got it, amen, until I can locate it. Some places are harder to find. It's not a large book, only four chapters, and it's a book that everybody knows who Jonah is. Every child knows who Jonah is, and you talk about him. He's a well-known fella. I want to say happy Valentine's to you, amen. I hope all the men got their girlfriends, wives, a Valentine. I hope you got her some flowers, some chocolate. I hope you took her out to eat, amen. I know CC's Pizza up there has got a special deal. I think if you get their stuff, you buy one, get one free. So I'm going to take care of that. My Valentine dinner today is going to be at CC's Pizza, amen. All you can eat, praise the Lord, for $6.99. That's mine and Carl's favorite kind of place, praise the Lord. But anyway, open your Bible up there just to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1, if you have your places, let's all stand as we read. I'm going to read one verse, and we'll come back to several verses, but there's one verse I'm going to take. I believe it's clear, and if one verse there says it all, there's one verse that says a lot about Jonah. Really, there's a couple, but in Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 3, you know, in verse 1 and 2, God tells Jonah that he's to go and preach against the city there, against Nineveh, to preach about sin, wickedness, the Bible calls that. And in verse number 3, he says, but Jonah, you see that? But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There's a message right there. He's running from who? He's running from the Lord. He's running from God. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And here's my message. So he did what? He paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you, Father, for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, today how great thou art. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us. And I pray today, Lord God, that even if there's someone here today that's lost, I pray right now they will understand how good God is, how much he loves them. And, Lord, I pray today may they hear what God has to say. and be obedient to the Word of God. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means there's not a single person here today that you don't have a desire for them to go to heaven. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, for the saved man and woman here, that God, maybe there's someone here today that's on the run. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that seems to be headed in the wrong direction. I pray today, God, they will heed and listen to what God's Word said, because the fare will be too high. The price will be too great. And Lord, today, may we be surrendered all to You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a seat there for a few moments, and we'll be out of here quicker than you'd ever think about. Amen. And tonight, by the way, come back tonight. I'm going to preach about the devil in the church. You say, who is it, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you who he is tonight. Amen. And the devil in the church. You say, it's supposed to be a church, not supposed to be any devils here. Well, I got some bad news for you. The devil is alive and well in church, I can tell you. And the devil's smarter than you and I, and he shows up in churches all over America, and he shows up in pulpits, by the way. I'm going to preach on that tonight. Lord gives me the opportunity. Don't change my mind, but that's my plan. But I got to ask you a question. How many of you ever asked the question, how much does it cost? Anybody? How much does it cost? In Spanish, Brother Cliff ain't in here. Where'd he go? Cuánto? Am I say that correct? Cuánto? How much? Yeah. Help me, Rebecca. Cuánto? How much does it cost? When we were down in Central America there, we'd go always out, someone will be selling something, and I'd want to know, how much does it cost? I would ask them, cuánto, and they would tell you how much it cost. And, of course, I would try to get it cheaper than that, amen? I always wanted it cheaper. I had a friend of mine up here that sells cars named John Pig. Him and I have been friends for a long time, and I buy cars from him. Sometimes buying a car from a friend can be a problem at times, but I went up there one day, and he told me, he said, Jimmy, I'll sell you that car for that price. And I got up there, and John wasn't there, and so I ran into his son, Robert. And I got in there with Robert, and I said, how much is it? And he had the price down there. I said, I'll tell you what, Robert, I'll give you this amount, which was less than what John told me. And anyway, he sold me the car for $300 or $400 less. Well, it was just a short time after that, he sent me a message on my phone saying, Jimmy, I told you what I would sell you the car for. Why in the world was you trying to pull it down even more? I said, John, I'm used to dealing with car salesmen. You don't never pay what they tell you they want for a car. If you do, then just go for it. I said, it's just in my blood to try to get it for less. He said, listen, I told you what, I know how much I got in it. I got how much I got to have out of it. And here you are trying to get it down even lower. I said, well, it's just the way it is, man. Anyway, I said, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again, but I probably will, because that's just the way I'm used to buying cars. But listen, you know what? We always want to know how much it costs. How much does something cost? Deborah goes to Goodwill. Anybody go to Goodwill in here? Deborah loves Goodwill. That's her favorite place. She goes to Goodwill. She comes back every Saturday. Every Saturday afternoon, after I'm out soul winning with our soul winning team, I get back home. I know where she is. She's at Goodwill. She's over there at place for hours. Amen. She can go in there in 2 hours or 3 hours, and then she comes home with something. Just pretend this is something. She comes home, and she's got this sack full of stuff, and she says, how much do you think I paid for this? Oh, I look at it. No, Joan, I've learned. I look at it. I usually guess some ridiculous price. I'm not talking about them. I'm working on you right now, amen. Leave the other women alone. But here's my point. She comes up and I'll say she's got something. She came in yesterday with a cooler. One of those little, what's that thing called? Mini something other cooler, you know. And she said, how much do you think I paid for it? And I guessed, I said, $2. I thought, I'm down there, buddy. No, $1. Well, how much? She's proud, you know, she thinks she's got something. She's got her phone. She'll go to that, she'll Google on there to see how much it actually costs. She walked in there and she said, look here, this thing sells for $24.95. Amen. And she's just excited about that. But you know, we ask the question, how much does something cost? And we never think about it a lot of times in our lives. How much does it cost? We never ask the question. We never think about how much will that sin cost me. We never think about the opportunities that the devil brings to us. You know, a drunk never asked, how much will that drink cost him? I'm not talking about the price of the drink. I'm talking about the consequences of the drink. The adulterer will never ask, how much will this affair cost me? Amen? The drug addict will never ask, how much will this little snort on this line going to cost me? You know, the liar, by the way, I'm getting closer to home here maybe, the liar will never ask, how much will the lie cost me? You see, sin carries with it, always has, a penalty. The devil's prizes and toys all have teeth. They all look good until you actually get to where they're at, and then you find out down the road, buddy, why did I do that? Amen? Why did I do that? There's a price. It's an uphill climb, but let me tell you something. It's a downhill slide. And most people don't realize that. You know, I heard people say this, just go ahead and sow your wild oats when you're young. Amen? Yeah, sow them when you're young. Enjoy everything, man, when you're young, because when you get old, buddy, it ain't going to be no fun no more. I like what Adrian Rogers said. Adrian Rogers says, we sow our wild oats when we're young, and then we hope for a crop failure when we get old. Amen? We hope that the crop will not come up. Amen? We don't want it to come up. I got news for you. It will come up. You mess around with the stuff the devil's got, it will come up sooner or later, and then you're saying, how in the world, why did I let this happen? And bless goodness, we don't see it. But listen, living it up really ain't living it up. Living it up is living it down. It ain't never living it up. Jonah went away from the Lord. We know the story of Jonah. I don't need to even get deep into it. But you know something? I believe right here in verse number 3, where it says, he paid the fare. He paid the fare. And by the way, Jonah, it cost him. It cost him dearly. Let me give you just a couple points, and we'll go eat. We're going to go to CC's, I think, and eat some pizza, by the way. You're all invited to come. I won't pay for it, but you can come and eat with me. And if you want to, somebody says, preacher, you go out to eat somewhere every Sunday. I do, generally do, and you're all invited to come. Just bring your bill for when you come. Now, if you want to buy mine, I'll have any problem with that. I'll be glad for you, too. But I'm going to go eat pizza. But listen, number one, he paid the fare as he disobeyed God. Look in verses. The first three verses we know are clear. Because now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. You know, I'm amazed that God, knowing what Jonah was going to do, but God had confidence in Jonah the prophet to tell him to go to a huge city, some say close to 1 million people, and preach against them. He would not have gone to Jonah if he did not have some confidence in Jonah. And I'm amazed at that. See, God had a plan for this man. God had a place for him to go. And God had the correct information when he got there. He had a whole city full of us. You know what us is? Gentiles. Unless you're a Jew here today, you are a Gentile. And I imagine most of you are Gentiles. I found out for Deborah, Deborah's people were Jewish. And on her daddy's side, they were Jewish. And I knew that after I'd been around them for a while, even though they didn't know that, buddy. Her daddy was as tight as anything you ever want to be. I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way. That man could fall into a bucket of manure and come up smelling like a $100 bill every time. That was just the way it is. And if he listened to this message, he'd probably get mad at me, but I'm just going to go on down the road with this. He had a whole city full of people, and these folks were lost people, and they were on their way to hell. And by the way, he was the only one that I see here that God called. Think about that a minute. I don't see nobody else mentioned other than Jonah. But see, God, first of all, he disobeyed the verse there, the cause was in verse number 2, go to Nineveh and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. God knows about our sin. Did you know that? I don't care who you are here today. God knows what you're doing. You can hide it. You can get it under a bucket. You can go to the darkest place that you want to go. You can turn out the lights, but God still sees. See, he forsook the cause that God had for him. Secondly, he disobeyed in the choices that he made. If you look in verse number 3, this verse tells you that instead of going to where he was going, it says that he rose up. I believe that he was in bed, just to be honest with you. It doesn't say in here that God could have come to him in a dream. I think the possibility exists for that. But Jonah disobeyed in his choosing of what he was supposed to do. It's funny to me, whenever I read this verse, it says that he ran from the presence of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Can we outrun God? Can how many of y'all have ever tried that? Go ahead and raise your hand. You've tried to have it your way. You know, I think, was it Elvis Presley that sang that song, "I Have It My Way"? Was that him that did that? Kids don't even know who Elvis Presley is, huh? Okay, well, "Have It My Way." Well, whoever it was, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, doesn't matter. Years ago, "I'll have it my way." I got news for you. You can have it your way, but you can't run from God. If you're a Christian here today, you can make bad choices, and you can go with as you want to. You can run, but the funny thing about it is, listen, you can run away from God, but you can't run from His presence. He is going to be there. If you're a child of God, it's kind of like church members, amen? I've told this story before, but it's been several years ago. Had a lady went to church here. She got mad about something, which is always the case. The devil will make you mad about something sooner or later, and go ahead and slap yourself upside the head now, because you're going to get mad about something sooner or later. The devil will make sure of that. This lady got mad about something. I didn't see her for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'm over in Walmart walking down through there looking for something. You men ever go to Walmart trying to find something? What a place. I hate that place. I'm trying to find somebody to tell me where it's at, because I don't want to look at everything in that store. All I want to do is go. I said the other day, I use these things called mini moos for my coffee. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Little mini moos. They're good in coffee. I'm trying to find the mini moos. Amen. And I said, and I finally found a lady. But I was walking down through there, and I walked up on this whole aisle, and there was a lady down there. I saw her immediately. She'd been to church here before. I saw her. I thought, I'm going to walk. I start walking that way. She turns around and sees me. Buddy, you know what? She took one look at me, and she did an about face, and she started down the other way as quickly as she could. See, she could run away from the presence of this pastor because she was mad about something or another. But I got news for you. You do the same thing with God. You know what we do? We go out here and do what we want to do. We'll run as quickly as we possibly can. We'll run away from the Word of God. We'll run away from the house of God. We'll run away from the preacher sometime, thinking we're leaving God. What a foolish thought that is. Go get up under your bed anywhere you want to go. Go hide out wherever your hideout happens to be. You can't. See, we make bad choices, though. We disobeyed. The cause was he was supposed to go. His choice was wrong. And third, the choice always leads to my third one here, the course that we're on. If you look at the very part of that verse there, the very bottom end there, notice it says, and this is interesting here to me also, he found a ship going to a place called Tarshish. Most people believe that that area there was what we would call Spain today. I won't get into that. It doesn't matter to me. And he pays the fare. You start running from God, get a hold of this. I will guarantee you the devil will have a ship waiting on you. The moment you decide to run from what God's will is for your life, I will promise you that ship is waiting. If you look at that way it says that there, I looked at a couple commentaries on this. Most of them say that ship was sitting there. They had the plank already set up and was waiting on Jonah. Now, Jonah runs. I don't know how. He ran, and he's running. I believe he ran right up the plank and right on the ship. And the devil says, yeah, you run from God, I got something for you. See, the devil's always got something when you run away from God. The devil looks to have something for you. And how lucky Jonah was, because you really think that the devil doesn't have the power to have something waiting on you? The devil's always got something. Satan's got sails. I'm talking about those things that comes up on the ships. And when you're ready to go, Satan's just waiting on you to hop on the boat. Amen? And by the way, you used to be old saying you can fly the friendly skies. Remember that? It was an airline. I can't remember which one it was. You can sail the friendly seas with the devil if you like. But you better understand something. We can run everywhere we want to go. But keep in mind, we can disobey. We can say, God, I'm going to have it my way. And if you're a child of God, I'll tell you something. There is a tremendous amount of danger in the child of God running away from God. I've heard this term many times. How many of y'all have ever heard the word diss? Diss, D-I-S. I hear this used many times. You know, hey man, you dissed me. Hey man, you're dissing me. By the way, if you look that word up, and I did, the word D-I-S means opposite. Use an example. Disobey. The thing you're supposed to do is obey. Put D-I-S in front of it, and you've got the opposite of that. If you mean, hey, listen, you disrespected me. The thing you should have done was to respect it. But because it is a D-I-S, it means the opposite of that. And listen, you can use a word. You hear it on the streets there, man, you did this to me. It's possible. Do you realize it's possible for a person who knows the Lord to get so far away, they're running away from the presence of God that they don't even care any longer. They don't even care any longer. They get so far, Brother Ricky, away from God that they no longer care. But I got news for you. You may not longer care, but God surely cares. You know what? What did God do? Y'all know what God did. He gets on that ship and God sends a little storm. Amen? God sent a storm to him, and then he sent a great fish, a whale, I believe, and that fish took care of that. And you know what? Many times we run away thinking from the presence of God. We run away. Jonah wanted to run away from God's presence because Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. It sounds good. I got to be honest with you. It sounds good. Amen? It sounds good. It really looks good. And by the way, when you get on the ship that Satan's got for you, if you know, we'll get into this just a second, Jonah goes down in it and goes to sleep. That's how comfortable that old boy was and what he was doing. But he wasn't there for a while because, listen, disobedience. Obedience is what you're supposed to do. When you diss it, it's the opposite. It will always take you away from God. It will always take you away spiritually. And will always take away from you the things that you got. By the way, there'll be no peace in your life, no joy in your life. And you can try to make yourself happy with the things the world's got, but you will not be happy. Number two, he paid the fare. Y'all come on in. As he dozed. Look in verse number 5 and 6. You know, we know he paid the fare, praise the Lord, and but he paid it by being disobedient, but we also find that he paid the fare as the old boy was asleep. Notice in verse 5, it says, then because we know he sent, verse 4, he sent the great wind. The sea gets up. Mighty tempest of the sea there is up. In verse number 5, then the mariners, that's your sailors, were what? An afraid sailor is a scary thing to be on a ship with that dude. And cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares. They threw their stuff off, keeping that thing afloat. They were in the ship in the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, dude, what are you doing? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we should not perish. You see, he paid his fare and he was sound asleep. You ever heard the old expression, asleep at the wheel? You ever heard that expression? Hey, listen, Brother Mike Powell's back there in the sound room right now. I'll tell Mike this, and I'll guarantee you, Mike run those roads for years. He drove that big old truck out there for years. It still run, Mike? It still run? Old brown truck, a million miles or so on it probably. And I'll tell you something, there's been times when I've been going down the road coming from Atlanta, Georgia at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have gone to sleep at the wheel. And that you truck driver, you know truck drivers, amen, it's happened to you. You drive long enough, and for that second, when you wake up, you're startled there. I remember one day I was passing a dude on the left. I was going about 80 miles an hour. I went to sleep. When I woke up, I was 8 to 10 car lengths ahead of that dude. And I mean, it scared me, buddy. I slowed down, rolled all. It was wintertime. I rolled all the windows down, buddy. I said, oh, I turned the music up as loud as I could get it. I thought, man, that's a terrifying feeling. Well, there's a lot of people today in our churches that are not where they're supposed to be, but they're down in the bottom of that ship that the devil's got for them, and they're sound asleep. See, Jonah was asleep physically. We know this. How do you know that? How many of y'all saw that cruise ship this past week that was out there? Anybody see it on the news? That cruise ship, buddy, was in, they said 100 and some mile an hour winds. And I've been on a couple cruises. Last place I want to be, amen, is on a ship out there with 5,000 people that's stacked up like cordwood, amen. And you're out in the middle of the ocean, praise the Lord. But you know something? Physically, You know, Jonah, you know, you think about it, God's word there in verse number 4, the Bible tells us that it was a great wind, and then it says a mighty tempest. That word tempest there means a whirlwind. Today we would know it as a hurricane. We would know it as a terrible storm. And this ship, if you read on in there in verse 4, it says the ship was like to be broken. You know what's fixing to happen? That ship was fixing to be broken into pieces. And physically, listen, Jonah, where is he at? He's asleep in the storm. Why do we sleep? Somebody help me with this. Why do we sleep? We're tired. Think about this. Jonah's running from who? God. When you get running from God, buddy, after a while, you get tired. Jonah gets to where he's at, goes down to the bottom of the ship, gets to the biggest storm he's ever been in his life, and he's asleep. You want to get tired? Live your way you want to live in the sin you want to live in. You'll find yourself the tiredest you have ever been, because the devil will wear you out. He will wear you out with the things of this world, and you won't know what to do. And Jonah's down in the belly. Physically, he's down there sound asleep, unaware that there's a terrible storm going on. Now, secondly, he's dozed. He's paying the fare. He's dozed off. He's dozed off mentally. He dozed off physically, but mentally, look in verse 5. Mentally, I say, because the mariners were afraid. The sailors were afraid. You know, he hadn't had no fear physically, no doubt. But these guys, listen, sailors do what? They sail the seas. They have been out there and done it. Listen, I have sailed the seas with some of the finest shipmates in my life. One of them is Daryl Bruner. He is a sailor, premier sailor, amen. Almost drowned me and my son-in-law's out in the middle of the Gulf one day, amen. I won't get off into that. It's a story only Daryl can tell. But listen, here's my point. Physically, but mentally, I look for fear in people's faces. I mean, sometimes you can be unaware that something's really dangerous. Sometimes you can be, but if you look and see someone, you look on their face and you see that person is scared. Y'all know that word, scared? Scared. I ain't scared. Scared. That's a word. I ain't scared. I got news for you. When you get scared, you can look in that person's face and you go, maybe I should be scared. See, that physically is one thing, but mentally, I need to be paying attention. See, Jonah mentally, Jonah should have been paying attention to where he was at. He should have been paying attention, you know, to the people there. He should have been paying attention to those sailors, Brother Ricky. But you know what? When you get away from God mentally, you ain't thinking right. I was in Best Buy the other day there. We got a television back there, and I got that television. There was a young man there, 26 years old. And, I could tell he was probably of the New Age movement. And I talked to him about that. He went into his sales pitch. I said, look, man, I want that television over there, and I want that right there. I want that. I don't need to hear your sales pitch. I don't need that. That's what I'm going to buy. That's the cheapest deal. I've already been to the other two stores. You got the best deal on that, $300 and some for that television. That's what we're going to get, and it'll be good. The FBI folks will be excited, amen. But here's my point. I said, listen, let me ask you, my friend, he was a youngster. I said, if you died today, he said, look, I don't want to talk about this stuff. I said, well, and so I went in the other door. I said, where do you go to church? He says, I don't. And his comments, you know, he knew I'd already made the sale, because I already told him. I'd already wrote the check out for him. He knew that. But then he said, you know, I used to go. My family used to go to the Catholic Church, and I don't go anymore. I said, well, listen, let's just take Baptist and Catholic away. Let's talk about the subject that we need to understand. You're 27 years old and you could die today. And all of a sudden, his demeanor changed. Now, I never got beyond him there, but can I tell you what he had? Physically, he understood that he would die, but mentally, he didn't understand that he would stand before God one day. The mindset wasn't there. See, Jonah was a man that physically, he was in the bottom of that ship asleep, and mentally, he wasn't paying attention. And I got to get to my third point out of this being a sleep mess, because it runs into verses 6 through 10. Look at these verses. It gets down to the spiritual side of Jonah. See, the shipmaster came to him, notice this, and unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Notice who he says, arise and call upon thy God. if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know of for whose cause is upon us, as evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is evil to us, upon us. What is thy occupation? Question. And whence comest thou? Where are you from? And what country are you from? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. You know, these mariners, it doesn't say why they asked what, but see, they knew there was something different about Jonah. I don't know what it was. He could have, maybe when he got on the ship, he got on the ship with a King James Bible in his hand. I'm just kidding. Maybe he got on there. Maybe when he bowed his head to eat his salmon cakes. Anybody, y'all like that fried salmon stuff? Cat food. I don't like salmon. It's okay. I like salmon. Salmon. I don't like no salmon though. Salmon cakes fried. I had to eat them. We eat them with eggs. Anybody eat that? We eat them with eggs when I was a kid. My wife don't like them either. I know. She don't like them. But anyway, where was I at? Yeah. Huh? I am. I'm not hungry. I'm getting back to my point. I lost my track. Bless goodness, I'm getting old. Maybe he had a Bible in his hands. Maybe he bowed his head to pray for those salmon cakes. And he said, oh God of heaven, I'm a Hebrew. I don't know. He tells them who he is. Maybe he had a cross around his neck. Now, he didn't, but he could have. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what I do know. Jonah was asleep spiritually. Now, think about this a minute. How many of us in this room are asleep spiritually? See, we're physically, we can be doing a lot of things, mentally we can do a lot of things, but spiritually. There's a verse over in Ezekiel 33, don't go there. Verse number 6 says that there's a man called a watchman. The watchman is the one who stands on the wall and tells them that there's people coming with swords to kill them. The watchman is the guy who says, heed, they're here, they're coming. Many today in the church are dead spiritually. The church today is afraid to tell people the truth about God. They want everybody to be happy. They want everybody to be smiling. They want everybody to realize, and listen, hell will be full of people that sit in churches Sunday in and Sunday out who were not told the truth because spiritually the church was dead. The greatest thing this preacher can do for you is to give you the truth. Whether you like it or not, should not matter, shouldn't matter to me, even though I want you to be happy, I want you to be in heaven one day. But I'll tell you right now, if you're like Jonah and you're running from God and you have been a mess spiritually, I'm sad to tell you today, I hope and pray this message gets a hold of you. See, we don't sin in a vacuum. A vacuum is where everything's been pulled out, the air is all that. We're going to sin. Sin is going to affect the lives of not only you, but it's going to affect those around you. And you're going to make a difference in a positive way either for the Lord or you're going to make a difference in a negative for Satan himself. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian. It makes no difference. Christians can be meaner to you than the lostest man has ever been. I've had Christians, buddy, be as mean as snakes. They go to churches and kill people in churches over stupid things. I'm told that if the entire world today was lost, the entire world that is lost, that people believe, if you was to line them up, Brother Ricky, by 20, and march them down a highway 20 abreast across, that the line would not ever end in our lifetime. 20 abreast as far as you could ever see, and they would be marching on and on and on and on, and we would never reach them. Many people today live their entire life spiritually. Listen, physically, they're not where they're supposed to be. Mentally, they've never thought about what's going to happen to them. And for the Christian, spiritually, we forget what God put us here to do. See, if we, as a church, if we ever get away from this thing of winning people to Christ, close the doors and go ahead and turn it into a bingo hall. Close your doors. If you get away from winning the lost, from knocking on doors and passing out tracts and telling people about the Lord. And by the way, I was talking to someone this morning. They were telling me about a place where they went to church years ago. And the pastor, they used to run buses. Amen. He used to run kids from the rough parts of town. And they said, listen, the pastor got up and says, well, we're no longer going to do the bus ministry anymore. Can I tell you what? God said, Ichabod. Close the doors of the church. It's no longer in existence today. And the same thing can happen here because spiritually, Jonah was not where he was supposed to be. Number three. So he paid the fare. You like to pay the fare? Mm-mm. He paid the fare because look in verse number four. The fare says, but the Lord sent a great wind. You got that? Into the sea and a mighty tempest, and the ship was being broken up. Now look all the way over in verse number 17. See, God is all into discipline. God sent the storm, and in verse number 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Yeah, I will. How many of y'all have been in a storm that you knew God put you in? God has put me in a storm, and I know that. Now, you know, the good thing about it is sometimes God has to put us in a storm. See, God fixed the storm for him, made it a bad storm. God brought that fish into things, and many times God will bring discipline through his way. Let me show you. Turn to Hebrews. I love Hebrews. In this portion especially, it is one of the greatest chapters. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the subject of chastisement. Y'all are not familiar with that word, but Hebrews chapter 12 is chastisement when God says, I'm going to wear you out. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring you back where you're supposed to be. By the way, this is to the child of God, lost man. This is not to you. This is to the child of God. But sometimes God will work on your heart through the Holy Spirit today. But many times as a child of God, in chapter number 12, look in verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. That means you ain't bled striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. Here we are, unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening there means the disciplinary punishment or correction designed to improve your conduct. That means I'm going to get your attention. Amen? Thank God. You know how when God whoops you, that means you belong to him. Amen? You say, preacher, I'm just not happy. Well, God bless your heart for not being happy. If you're happy in your sin, something's bad wrong. You should not be. But notice, he goes on there. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chastens and scourges. There's a bigger word there, folks. That word means severely. God don't just worry, buddy. God wears you out. Every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without it, chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you're a bastard. Preacher, that's a child born out of wedlock. That means you don't belong to God. It means you're not his youngin. See, God will discipline his youngins. Now remember something. Remember something. The devil had a ship for him, but God had a storm for him. The devil had a ship for him to get in, but God had a fish for him to get in. Now I got news for you. The devil's ship sounds a lot better than the fish does. See, God thinks, you think it's a bad storm, buddy? You think it is? Wait till you get in the belly of a fish. That'll cause you there. I'll tell you this, folks. The Bible tells us there in Luke Luke chapter 15 that there's more joy in the presence of in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over the 99 that are righteous. That means God's more concerned about that believer out there that comes back to God. You know something? I want more than anything else to see folks in this church get right with God. I want to see folks in this little church live for the Lord. I want to see you on fire for God. I want to see you so much on fire that people running down the street to see what in the world you blazing about. And you know what? Why is that? Because I know one thing. If God will get a hold of you and get attention of you, God can use you. But I got to close with this. See, he paid all these fares, but he also paid the fare of being discontented. He disobeyed. Got down to that. And you know what? Disobedience and discontentment go hand in hand. The day you decide you want to do what you want to do is the day you might as well take the word happy out of your name. I can look at people today and they're not happy. Got folks in church, I ain't happy. Let me tell you right now, you might as well put the dis in front of that. Disobedience. Not happy. I'm not happy, preacher. I'm going to find somebody I can chew on today. Well, I promise you, you'll find somebody. There'll be a ship waiting for you. And you, but you're not going to be happy. See, he's discontent. Go all the way through to chapter. Y'all know in chapter number 3, Jonah, by the way, I still don't think, Jonah got a prayer in chapter number 2. He prays and he gets down there. And then in chapter number 3, Jonah the second time, by the way, God is a God of second times. But Jonah gets back out, goes to Nineveh and does what he's supposed to do. And the people of Nineveh turn, repent and all. And you think at this point in time, I still believe Jonah has got some problems. Because in chapter number 4, notice verse number 1. What does it say? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was what? You know what? He's still discontented. You realize that whole city got saved. Those people turned from their sin and turned to the Lord. Read the chapter. You'll find in that God had planned for Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach, and Jonah disobeyed. God chastised him. But I don't think Jonah ever got it. Y'all know the story in chapter 4. He puts a gourd. The gourd comes up. God sends a very bad wind and destroys that. And Jonah's not concerned about the people of Nineveh. He's upset because the gourd died. I wrote these down in my Bible years ago. I don't know whether Bobby Robertson gave them to me, but these are phenomenal points. I probably preached this message. God did what he did not for Jonah, but he did what he did for Nineveh. Number 2, Jonah never told the people of Nineveh of the possibility that a loving God would forgive them. Never told them. Never told them that. Number 3, the greatest miracle was not the swallowing of Jonah by a whale, but it was the saving of an entire city. You see, Jonah missed the whole boat. He got in the wrong boat, but he missed the whole basic behind it. Now here's my point. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And every time we rebel against God's will, something or someone loses. It costs somebody. God will still forgive us. Amen? Chapter number 3 tells us that. God will still forgive us. God will still do it, but listen. Our courses many times will become unalterable. That means, you know what? You can take a course, but there can be a price to the course that you take. I've seen many a young man. I've seen many a young man sit down with their friend. I hate to even tell you, I'm going to tell you this, but I remember the first beer I ever drank. I remember that. Now, thank God for two things. I didn't like the taste of it. You can acquire it after a while. And then I got sick on Boone's Farm at about 17 years old. I spewed that stuff out my nose, out my ears, out my toes. And I don't want nothing to do with it. I didn't want anything to do with that. Thank God for that. Made me sick. Tastes like apple cider. But it was nasty. But there's been many a young man, please listen to this, young woman, young man, that sits down with a drink when they're 16 or 17 with their buddies, and they get hooked on that stuff. By the way, they don't get hooked, it hooks you. It gets into your system, it gets into your life, it gets into your family, it gets into your home, and pretty soon, you know what, you can come and God will forgive you, but please listen, the cost can be so high. so high. And you know what? The good news is God will forgive, and I can't promise you what God's going to do or not do, but every one of us are writing in our lives the courses that we're on today, and you can have it your way, but life-changing decisions, you can make a life-changing decision in a moment. Be careful. We were in California, and I'm closing. It's 9 minutes after 10. We were in California. I was working on the bomber test, worked the B-1 aircraft. Some of them don't mean anything to y'all. And then I worked the B-2 stealth bomber for a while. And I spent a lot of time, Deborah will tell you, I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. I worked in a place called Pico Rivera in Sepulveda. And I had a great job. I didn't wear a uniform, wore a suit to work. I looked like a civilian, neat job. But I spent a lot of time with a group of guys down there. And every week we would go down from Monday to Friday. I'll never forget this. They paid us $200 per diem a day, 1984, 85. And we stayed in a rot-gut hotel that nobody in his right mind would stay in. But we did. And I took that money home, put it in the bank. Anyway, I spent the whole week down there with these nutheads, these guys that I work with. One of the guys' name was Dana. I won't give you his last name because it could be. He was a quote-unquote Pentecostal preacher. You went to his desk every day. He had crosses up on his desk, huge crosses. He had Bibles sitting there. Well, each evening, we would go downstairs to the place we stayed. They fed us supper every night. It was bar food, just to be honest with you, but I called it supper because I didn't drink. I was saved then. Knew the Lord. Go down there, and they'd have tacos. They'd have, whatever. And I'd eat me 12 or 14 of them boys. And by 7 o'clock, all the people like me would say, well, I'm going up to the room, go up and watch TV. And all the other guys would go downtown to run the bars, run the whores, whatever was out there. And they was gone. Well, that particular night, Dana was my roommate. We had two to a room. And Dana, the Pentecostal preacher fella, he went off with the other fellas. Never forget this. Dana was about 6'4", big old dude. Anyway, I go to bed. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up. I go to the door. There stands Dana in his underwear. All he's got on is his briefs. Drunk as a skunk. I said, what in the world are you doing? Drunk. I took him in the shower, plopped him down in the bathtub, turned the cold water on, and went back to bed. Woke up the next morning, Dana is still in the shower. Still in the shower. Got sobered up, though, amen. He turned the water off sometime in the night. Now, let me beam you forward about 5 months after this. There was a guy there that I had been trying to lead to the Lord there in the area that we worked. We worked in cubicles. Anyway, Dana had been witnessing to this guy. I'll never forget this. And Bobby was his name, by the way, Bobby Norris. Dana's over there in the cubicle. I'm on the other side of the cubicle. Dana says, Bobby, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not, you're going to hell. I'll never forget what Bobby Norris said to him. Bobby said this. He said, Dana, if you're going to heaven, then so am I. You drink like a fish. You run the whores downtown in Los Angeles. You cuss like a sailor and you smoke like a Mack truck. Don't preach that Bible stuff to me. Let me fast forward to 2001. Maxwell, downtown at the Civic Center, Senior NCO Academy graduation, 2,000 people in attendance. I was teaching at the school. I'm over there, and I forgot what I was doing. I look, and down the aisle, I see this doesn't mean anything to many of y'all. I saw a young man, no longer young to me now because he's probably, 40 years old, a Command Chief Master Sergeant. Some of my Army folks know what I'm talking about. Walking down through there, he had a tall glass of bourbon in his right hand. When I looked up, I saw Bobby Norris. I'm over here to the side. I forgot what I was doing. I stepped out. I said, hey, Chief, couldn't call him Bobby because he outranked me. I said, Chief, good to see you. I said, remember me? I'm Jim from Edwards Air Force Base. He looked at me. You ever had somebody look at you and look completely through you? He looked at me, and I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, who in the hell are you? I worked beside him for 4 years, Buck. Can I tell you what had happened? Now let me back up. A guy named Dana Bradfield had tried to preach to him when his life preached far more than he did. I never reached Bobby. Bobby walked away. Bobby did not know who I was, and I never forgot Bobby Norris. I never forgot. Can I tell you something? Bobby paid the price because of a man who said he was a child of God. And Dana paid the price because he was not who he was supposed to be. You know, Jonah got things right in the end, but really he didn't. A lot of Christians today, we don't realize this. We're paying a tremendous fare as we run away from God in our lives. We ought to be leading people to Christ every single day of our life, but many times our lives will take people away from God. And many times we just don't want to go. You know, the story is, Jonah didn't like the people. Jonah didn't like Nineveh. I've told this before, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care for Montgomery, Alabama. I really didn't have time to fight the black and white thing. I thought we got beyond all that. Never think that you're going to get beyond sin. It ain't going to happen in our lifetime. But you know what? You better ask yourself this question every time, everything that you do. How much is this going to cost me? The answer is we don't always know. See, Jonah paid the fare. He was disobedient. Jonah was asleep. Jonah got God disciplined him, but Jonah was never happy. He was never content because he never got the idea to understand why God had sent him there to start with.